Hey, and welcome back to Extra Features Interview. Today we have a fantastic guest, Mikey Martini, whose film Povero Tutto, which neither of us speak Italian, so neither of us know how to say it. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I know we just had audio problems, so we're going to lie to everybody and tell them it's the first time we did it, even though it's the second. So tell everybody about this awesome short that's too short.
I appreciate you saying that it's too short. Actually, I made it with the intention of it being a trailer. I've been making films for years prior to this, but my friend and I kind of teamed together and we decided to make comedy videos. This was the second one we made, and I had this idea backlogged since like high school. I always knew I wanted to do a Dario Argento kind of parody because I thought there's so much humor in those films and just the way that they are kind of lost in translation and so strange and out there. I thought there was a lot of inherent comedy in there. So in 2014, we teamed together. We put this together. I started it. He played like four different roles. And I, you know, submitted it in my college application, showed it to somebody who interviewed me, and I got it to the college. And now I've got a sequel on the way.
So how long do we have to wait for the sequel? Because I need to know. Because I've seen this film. So I want the sequel. I'm ready.
Well, it's complicated because now it's in post audio, so somebody gets out of my hands and somebody else is working on the audio. I go back to the edit every now and then and I touch up the image and I do adjustments, but it's in somebody else's hands to do the audio design. And then once that's done, I have to look into where I could possibly show this or screen it because I don't know. This is like the first time I've ever attempted to screen something outside of just posting it on YouTube. So, but it is a 15-minute film that I put a lot of my own money and time into. I definitely want to try different avenues to get to the scene.
Well, I think your introduction is amazing. I want to first talk about your music.
Oh, yeah.
Where did that come from? Like, you have, for 22 years old, you have some very good and strong musical choices, I thought.
Thank you. Actually, there's a good portion of that music featured in the film is composed by me. And then I used actual production library music from the 80s, from the early 80s that I had accumulated. And I think that there might be, like, a piece or two that's from, you know, a friend composed it or something. That's what I do, as I compose that type of music anyway, so it just comes naturally to me to write, you know, 80s horror-style music, and I guess it just years and years of obsessing over, you know, random B-movies, paid off in the end, making this, composing the score.
When I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my god, it's like listening to when I was like 19 or 20. I loved it. I'm like, this is totally my kind of music. Yeah. Skinny Poppy, I remember all that. Oh yeah, Tony Ritter, I loved it. Now, I make the film, from the trailer, I thought it'd be a 70s thing, but I thought it was more like an early 80s song there.
This is the weird thing, is that I was trying to do that in the early 80s, but when I went to make the sequel, you know, this past year, I decided that that was the part that really takes place in 1985, and the only reason that is so is because you see a Breakfast Club poster in the background of one of the scenes.
Oh, I didn't catch that. Totally missed it.
Like, there's a Breakfast Club poster, so it dates it at least 1985. So in the sequel, I explain in the prologue, in 1985, these events happen. It takes place 2 years later, and we pick up the story in 87. I was going for something of a late 70s, early 80s look for everything.
For me, it was the headphones. I'm like, those are 80s headphones.
Yeah.
And they're coming down the headphones, I'm like, 1980s, no problem. As soon as I saw them, I'm like, that's 80s. I thought the clothes were trying to go 70s, but the feel of the film was 80s.
Yeah. I was definitely aiming for something like, you know, 81, 83 or something like that. Just somewhere in between Argento's Suspiria and then, like, Phenomenon, which is like 1985.
And did you write this all thing? Did your friend write it?
I would say that I wrote it in that. I wrote down the scene, like, I wrote it as a sentence on a piece of paper. really dubbed, it doesn't really look to match the lens, you know, as in a foreign horror film.
Yeah, I let it go. I figured that was just what you were going for, so I'm just going to let this go. Because I wrote down names, like, the names are here alphabetically in the yearbook. I don't have a name. I'm like, that's so good. And I'm last in the yearbook, so I'm going to die last. I go, that's funny.
Yep, exactly.
It made me laugh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the intention was to go as absurd as possible, but stay still true to the source material.
You are absolutely right on that. I have no complaints at all. I thought that was good. And how much fun did you have making that woman run up the stairs?
That was so fun. I would have made that scene longer. I actually wanted that scene to, like, I wanted the music to stop and just prolong that running up the stairs.
I just thought she needed another 4 or 5 staircases to go. I was just hoping she would.
The thing about that is we filmed that in my old high school, where the high school I graduated from. We just pulled up to the school, and the janitor happened to be outside, and we said, hey, can we go in there and film some stuff? And it was, like, the middle of summer, and he's like, yeah, sure. He opens the door, and that's just how long the stairs were, you know? If it went up a couple more flights, I would have, you know, extended that scene. But we reached the top floor, and then I decided to use that hallway for the rest of the scene.
Oh, it worked perfectly. And then I have a crazy clown is awesome. Because that's the first time I meet the villain is right there. And I go, yeah. He's amazing. Yeah. And he uses a different weapon of choice to kill everybody, I noticed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really trying to go for that, you know, Italian giallo horror style.
I think you hit it on perfectly.
Yeah, thanks.
I love when the psychic, the person with no name, hits him in the head with the skull. Oh, Annabelle Sing. Annabelle, do your thing. Quote.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Hits him in the head with a skull. I was dying.
that's kind of the fact that we wrote that line and I can move rocks with my mind.
Yes.
Because that is a play off both the fact that Jennifer Connelly starred in Phenomena, where she is telepathic and can see through the killer's eyes, and also she stars in Labyrinth, where there's a monster who can move rocks with his mind.
Oh, what's his name? Udo.
So it's a very convoluted and, like, crisscross reference to Jennifer Connelly.
What is that guy's name? Udo? I can't remember the
Ludo.
Guy. What?
Yeah.
Ludo! Ludo move rocks! Yes, I totally remember.
Yeah, so she moves rocks with her mind. Rock beat scissors, yeah.
So, I mean, I am got to tell you how upset I am. I wanted another 30 minutes.
Oh, I wanted to make that a full film. It's just that I didn't have money, and it's just me. Like, when I make films, usually it is just me going out without a budget, just whatever money I have here and there. It takes me a long time, and I just kind of do it in pieces with friends mostly. If I can, you know, whoever I can get, and, you know, I would have made it a full film if I had the resources to do so, because I really enjoy doing this kind of thing.
Well, I love the mustaches. I definitely felt you were just taking things you had and sticking it on the actor. So, oh, we have this funny coat. You can have that. You can have a mustache. You can have this.
For the detective, that was actually his suit.
And, oh, really? I was wondering where it came from.
Yeah, he had that suit, and I thought that was perfect. And I think what we were doing there with that voice is a little bit of a Noel Fielding kind of thing.
Yes.
Because we Yeah.
Who pulls out a Noel Fielding reference? Wow.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of, like, Noel Fielding's style of humor and, like, Matt Berry and just their voices, like, what they do with their voices and their characters and their level of absurdism. And I didn't want to rip Noel Fielding off, but I was certainly inspired by just that goofy, over-the-top New York cop character he has. And I wanted to do something like that in this. I thought it would be perfect because it seems like every Italian horror film from back in the day took place in New York. So
I have a couple of Noel Fielding stories for you, because I was in Montreal a few years ago for the comedy festival, and who did I hang out with? Noel Fielding.
Wow.
He is so funny in person, I cannot tell you. Absolutely amazing.
That's insane. I saw him live, and we waited outside to try to meet him. I met Michael Fielding, his brother, who plays Naboo.
Oh,
and that was pretty awesome. Just chilling outside smoking, And we were all waiting for Nolan. I guess he snuck out a different way. We didn't get to meet him.
Oh, I'm sure. He's very nice. He likes to hang out by the pool in his Speedo.
That seems uncharacteristic.
And I'm not even joking.
I can't imagine that. I always imagine him with like a long robe or some kind of.
So did I. We came down to the pool in the hotel, and there's no filming, just hanging out by the pool in his Speedo. I'm like, oh my God.
That's so awesome, candid.
There you go. He was so nice. I will tell you what. He told us some great stories about heckling and stuff. Phenomenal if you ever get to meet him.
Oh, man. That sounds awesome.
So there you go. So that's weird that you brought up Noel Fielding. I couldn't stop laughing. I'm like,
yeah, that's strange. That Garth Brady's Dark Place is where the genesis of Paratuto came in. Were it not for me seeing Dark Place when I was much younger, I probably wouldn't have been so passionate about creating this kind of thing. And I mean, I hate to say that, but like, because it sounds like, you know, it sounds like I'm taking something away from my own work, but I really is a lot. I owe a lot to Dark Place in inspiring me to bring that absurdity out of, you know, poking fun at, you know, 80s horror and retro horror and all the tropes and just really pushing for that absurdity, I guess.
So I have to ask, like, why did you watch as a teen to influence this kind of picture? Like, you're saying Italian horror, like, you don't look that old in your pictures. I don't know how old you are, but just the way you're talking, you sound like you're under around 30, even if you are 30.
I'm going to be 26.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. So why did you grow up watching? Because, I mean, you have a great grasp on Italian horror cinema. I'm like, wow.
Dude. I'm a very outdated dude. As a teenager, I mostly only listened to, like, post-punk and 1980s, you know, gothic rock, industrial, new wave. I watched a lot of basically every slasher film that came out back in the day, and then like body horror and supernatural. And I'm just a big horror geek, and I just happen to like films of that period more than stuff that's come out recently. And I used to be a real snob about it, but there's something inherently funny about that stuff to me. Like, it's so cool, but at the same time, like when I'm watching it, it's just that detachment. Like, I wasn't around at the time, so for me, like, watching that and the whole aesthetic of it is very intriguing to me, just from a purely superficial, you know, standpoint. But those films are just so creative and they're landmarks. So I don't know. They just really stuck with me, and I guess just inspired everything I've done since.
So seeing that, I wouldn't say you're even Del Toro influenced or any of the Spanish horror films. Like, I feel it's very Dario. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, are you a creature feature guy or just a slasher?
I like a little of everything. I'm a big trauma fan.
Okay.
Like, I love to make a trauma film, or that's kind of been like my dream for a long time, is to make something like a trauma film, or if not, make one.
Can you make me a killer clown? Because
I love that crazy stuff, the Toxic Avenger and Class of Nukem High and all that. So yeah, I would say monsters are cool. I like Chucky, Freddy, all the good ones, and then some of the weird stuff like the Stuff from 1985 and the Blob, Street Trash. I like that kind of crazy body horror stuff too.
I met Lloyd Kaufman too. I hate to tell you so.
Oh man, I saw him at a convention when I was a teenager, and I just barely knew who he was.
Oh.
And he walked right past me in the cafeteria, and I was like, I kind of know who that guy is, but I wasn't a trauma fan at the time.
Oh, he's touring Toxic Avenger again. He's actually in my town last week. I think he was here.
Oh, man.
So you'll have a shot. He's retouring Toxic Avenger, taking it around, so you might have a shot.
I'm hoping that he's going to bring Return to Nukem High 2 to the Music Box here in Chicago, because I would love to see that live in the theater.
Oh, look at you. Look, even classic theater. Look at you go in Chicago. I love Chicago. One of my favorite cities.
Well, I don't want to give too much away, but the Music Box Theater is actually featured in my sequel, which is called Evil Everywhere, that will be coming out
soon.
At some point this year.
Soon, yeah, I can't wait. Wow, look at you. So, I mean, you're 26, you're making fabulous films.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm really impressed if this is your first feature. I'm short, really good. blew me away. Like I said,
it's not my first, but I would say that it's one of the first that's featured on IMDb. I didn't feel like anything I'd done before then was really worth putting up on the site. I'd done a lot of stuff since I was like 8 years old, and I just nonstop creating videos. But I think in terms of what's going to influence what I do henceforth, I think Par Tutto, you can call that my first big thing, I guess, or first culmination of everything that I stand for as a filmmaker, I guess.
Oh, you're doing a great job. I no complaints from me. Absolutely zero.
I really appreciate hearing that.
I don't know why. I guess maybe at 22 when you made this film, you didn't think of taking it to film festivals or anything?
The thing is, I don't know how to do these things, like how to get my stuff seen. So I just put a lot of work into something, put it on YouTube, and hope that a lot of people are going to find it. I've never had that experience of like submitting it. And also a lot of the time, I don't really know what kind of festival is going to be receptive to this type of very niche material. I feel like what I do wouldn't really fit in most horror festivals because it's so satirical and campy. I find it just hard to market myself, honestly. And, you know, festivals tend to be pretty pricey just to enter. Yeah. And I don't think I've really had anything that I ever felt was festival worthy until, this Evil Everywhere that I hope to do something with this year. But again, it's a 50-minute film, so they'd have to find time to put it in there in the slot of when they're showing films. Like, I guess it's pretty hard to work in a 50-minute film in a fest, but we'll see.
Well, I will help you with that after this. We'll talk about it. I'll tell you what you need to do a little bit. I'm going to ask you three fun questions now, and you can say whatever you want and just enjoy them. Okay. Favorite film is your first one.
Favorite film, Breakfast Club.
No complaints from me. Love that film.
It's a perfect film.
I hate to tell you, I saw that in theaters. I'm old.
Oh, nah.
Friday night, I'm at your house. What film are you putting on for me? Because I know you're watching film.
I'm going to change things up. I'm going to say It Follows. From 2014, 15?
Love that film. Absolutely great horror film.
In terms
film.
Of modern horror, that was one that I was really impressed by. Get Out was another one that I was really impressed by. I like stuff like that that's psychological and simple.
Get Out's
like
a good comedy, though. You could even say Get Out's a comedy horror.
Yeah, and It Follows was a great, it harkens back to Carpenter, of course, yes. I think, in many ways, but I just thought that was a really original idea and such a simple concept, but so effective.
I'm going to ask, why did you think of Babadook?
Babadook, I didn't see it. I heard a lot of talk about it. I heard a lot of mixed things about it. And typically, I don't go to theaters a lot, and I don't see a lot of new movies. So if I'm going to watch a modern horror film, I'm going to see it on Netflix or something. I didn't get a chance to watch that, honestly. Is it good?
I didn't like it, so I just wanted, as a horror aficionado's opinion on it, it was not me.
Yeah, I heard kind of mixed things about it. So I don't know.
This may be a different question, because we're a different generation. So I'm always interested, what does your generation watch thing? Do you prefer Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu and not going to the movies?
Well, I'll go, like, I guess it has to be like an event to go to the movies for me. Like, I went to go see Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me at the Music Box, and that was an event, you know, because, you know, it was a re-showing or something. When they bring, like, old films, you know, back on 35mm and show them in theaters, like, I'll go to see that. But, you know, a new film coming out, a new horror film that I don't really know anything about, I'll just wait until it comes on Netflix and I'll watch it. It's just easier. It's convenient, and I hate that's like the trend with my generation. But
that's why I'm asking, because I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I have an 8-year-old daughter, and they're not really – they don't mind going to the movies, but they'll tell me, can we watch it at home?
I think that there's a certain luxury in watching it on streaming where you can just pause it
That's
go
what they
the bathroom,
say.
Go
they just drink. Like having snacks at home. They like watching yeah. it in the middle of the afternoon. They don't have to leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
so old school. I love yeah, going so to the movie theater.
A lot of stuff is just coming to streaming, like first, not even premiering in theaters. It's just going straight to streaming. There's a lot of great content. I find like on streaming services, a lot of the content that I see there is better than what I would see in a theater or on network television. I'm amazed by what I've seen Netflix producing and Amazon, you know, originals and stuff like that. And as for independent filmmakers, I feel like Amazon is a great venue for distribution.
Absolutely.
If I could figure out how to get on there, I would.
Again, I'll help you after.
sounds like, yeah, we need a crash course here.
I got a question. I know I just asked you. Do your friends feel the same way you do?
No, actually, I feel like, I don't want to, like, jump the gun and say anything. I feel like a lot of people have been really annoyed by my filming, because it's literally, like, every time I meet with somebody, it's, like, a friend. I'm talking about a film I want to make with them.
No,
it's like, for me, it's nonstop.
I meant, do they want to go to the movie theater? Sorry, that's what I meant. Do they, or are they like you? They want to stay at home and watch streaming?
No,
or?
I mean, we hang out, we watch movies on Netflix. One of my friends, I mean, I have one friend that I'll go to the music box with them and I'll see, re-showings of older films on, you know, 35 or 70 millimeter or something, you know, like I said, but, yeah, I haven't really gone to the movies with a friend in a while, at least not since, Trainspotting 2. I saw that with a friend in a theater.
That might have been a mistake.
Why?
I did not like Trainspotting 2.
Oh, I watched it not having seen Trainspotting in a couple of years, so it wasn't, like, fresh in my memory. Walked into it, I enjoyed it, and then I went and watched the first one, and, you know, I thought it was a great film.
Oh, good. I'm glad you got something out of it. I always appreciate people getting stuff out of films I don't. Maybe because I watch too much, maybe that's my problem.
Oversaturation, yeah.
I do have, but that's my problem. I do it to myself. Last question. You've been to the movie theater? What did you buy at the concession stand?
Jeez. I like candies. I like Mike and Ike's.
Okay.
Soda. If they serve beer, I might get a beer. They do beer at the music box. I know that.
I've seen them. Like I said, I've been to Chicago. I've seen the music box, but it was an opportunity for me to go in.
I keep bringing it up because it's like the one theater that shows like really off-kilter things.
It's funny because the year I was there, I was there for a convention. My friend went to see a Dario film there that night and got back to the hotel like 4 in the morning. So,
yeah,
that was funny.
It's a beautiful theater too.
So I want you to tell everybody where they can see this magnificent short. It's phenomenal. I'm telling you, I really, really liked it.
My YouTube is... I think it's like youtube.com/user/MikeyMortini. Or no, Mordacious Films. Sorry. My YouTube name is Mikey Mortini, though.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time. I'm glad we finally hooked up after some weird texting, but that's all good. It's probably more my end misunderstanding things, but that's good. But thank you for your time, and have a great night.
Yeah, no problem.